Welcome to the Tech Flash. If you're looking to increase your ed tech knowledge that's quick and easy to listen to, you have come to the right place. Let's join our host, Josh, and see what today's episode is all about.
Hello and welcome to the Tech Flush. Man, you know, when I honestly think about you guys that are listening, first timers, it's just incredible. It's awesome to continue to bring content and just really kind of put those thoughts out in the air for you guys to listen to, for me to think through things. It's just been an incredible journey to continue to do those things. And even, I mean, this is day number three that we've podcasted in a row, especially with the team that's come from Bradley County Schools to TCA down here in Texas. It's just been awesome to not just go to sessions, but after we go to dinner, we eat voodoo donuts, to talk and collaborate and just kind of hang out and be together. Because we don't necessarily get to do that all the time, but it's been a good trip for us to bond, talk about work and all those things. But enough of those type of things. So this is episode number 69. Just incredible that we've gone to this part. Like I was talking to Mr. Jeremy Jones before we started recording. He's like, what number is this? And it was like, I said 69. It's like, it's crazy to think that I've gotten to this point in the show. But it's been a fun journey. It's been awesome to continue to do this. So as we start transitioning to the show today for episode 69, we're going to kind of talk about some tech tips this time, just some, not necessarily highlights of sessions, but maybe one type of thing that you went to today that you walked away with that was very encouraging. Whether it was a new process, maybe it was in Google Slides, you figured out you could do something in the background like Canva. Or maybe you just enjoyed a speaker. Maybe you went to a speaker. Like I went to Leslie Fisher today for a session, and there's a couple things that I've already seen her present on, but there was one thing she talked about was Moat, which is an accessibility extension that'll do read alouds for students. And they've really upped their game and they revamped the program. And that was a big takeaway for me from probably the whole day. So we'll go around in a second. We'll give the team time to talk about those things because I know we didn't talk about what our topic was, but they'll get going with that. So we're going to talk about donuts first, because I know you have been following along in our journey here in Texas. You are worried about our donuts and what is going on. So we're going to go to Scott first. So Scott, tell us about tonight, dinner. Tell us about your favorite donut today.
Josh, first of all, thanks for having me on your program. It's always a pleasure to be on your program. Very excited. 3 days in a row. So don't forget, if they ever do publish, to go back and listen to the previous two episodes of the show. Very exciting time this week at TCEA. Totally forgot the question you just asked. So, but thanks for having me on the show.
You are so welcome. Thank you for being on the show again. But we're talking about donuts, and I know every night we've recorded, we've talked about
Josh,
the donuts.
Oh, Josh, you know, I can talk
so
about
a donut. So we're going to start with that. So tell us what donuts you picked
tonight.
Well,
you know, today, you know, it was a difficult choice. There was a lot of options on the table. Trying to move outside the box a little bit. Trying to be a little more adventurous. Trying to, you know, dip our toes into some different areas. Some, you know, looking at possibility of getting a little chocolate into the mix. Hadn't done a chocolate donut yet this week. A little old fashioned. You know,
that's
a
good one.
You know, I think, you know, it can't go wrong with a good old fashioned. A lot of options on the table. There was some great choices out there. Had some donuts that had some Captain Crunch on them. It looked pretty wild and adventurous. But ultimately we decided we've elected to go chocolate today, a little chocolate cream. Very excited about the choice. It did go ahead and, you know, sometimes when, you know, sometimes you got to make multiple decisions. You just can't go away. One was not enough. So we did go with a standard glaze old fashioned. Great choice on my part. I thought it really kind of hit the spot, and it served me well on the walk back, you know. Lovely time here in the beautiful city of San Antonio. And it was great to celebrate it with an outstanding donut from Voodoo Donuts.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed that donut. And we'll come right back to you with our tech tip in just a second. So thanks for that, Scott. All right. So we're going to go to Pam. So Pam, I know you had a different option for dessert tonight. You went with, what did you go with?
I was blessed to be able to go with creme brulee. And it was berry topped and a little mint sprig on it. It was superb.
Awesome. I know that. It looks good. I'm not a big creme brulee fan, but it looked very tasty.
It's very delicious.
So when we think about our sessions today, Pam, what is one big takeaway? Was it a speaker? Was it a tip? Was it a tool? Was it meeting your big EdTech crush out there? Like, what was going on today?
What was another great day at TCEA, and started off the morning with Peggy Reimers, and she had some STEM sparks, big learning with simple supplies. And I went into that session really not having, delved into any of what it was even going to be about. I just thought, you know, I'm going to go because of STEM, and my association was the STEM hub in the district. And so pretty amazing ideas, just all unplugged, you know, give somebody one spaghetti noodle and do certain activities with it. Give them two, you know, create letters, create numbers, do measurements, do angles. I mean, and it just was simple things like that. Loved when she gave out a bag of Legos and had us build down. So, you know, instead of, you always think with Legos, you're building up tallest tower or cantilevering over something or bridge or something. This was definitely just straight down off the table. So you needed to have the weight to hold the Legos and, you know, have it balanced at the top and then be able to try to touch the floor. And I think we did a good job. We were probably about an inch off the floor by the time we finished. We kind of were competitive and we kind of slayed it, my partner and I. Really know how I ended up with such a, you know, excellent choice in partners, but walked in about 2 minutes late and, you know, we won. I was really proud.
That's awesome. Did you get a sticker? Did you get some swag?
You know what?
That?
I actually got some like challenge cards. And so really happy to bring those back to the district. And, you know, I'm being facetious, but no, it was fun. It was all lighthearted. It was good times. And, you know, just even the camaraderie with the adults in the room. And I know what it would do to bring that back and give that to the teachers for them to re-deliver to their students. And that's always what I'm thinking of, is how I can pass this along.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like even like, you know, when we do we bring some of the STEM things to the schools for house days, or we do those things in the gym with them, and we use the kava planks, and they're just building. But really, there's so much more to what we're doing with them just by just having fun with building with those blocks. And it's just like what you do with the spaghetti noodles and making things. It's just really challenging students to think outside the box and continue with that engineering design process, even if it is using a spaghetti noodle to do this or building with blocks. And hopefully those ideas continue to translate to academics and content and create things to pull all that content in. So it's just incredible to continue to do that stuff.
Yeah, I'll share one other thought with that. In the same vein, we all took like the post-it note, you know, poster size sticky notes. And what we did is we were all drawing ducks. And so every team, there was teams of two, and every team drew a duck. And then it was called, you know, the average. And so we took, you know what, there was 13 different ducks on the wall, and you measured your ducks, and then somebody did the math by inches and, you know, divided by 13. So, you know, she asked, you know, what would you use this for? And I just thought it would be such a great scaffolding exercise, where a lot of times we are teaching students and we don't necessarily have something that's so concrete or something that's as obvious as, like, you just drew something. You count your students and you do the average, you know, the math of that. And so I thought it was really, it was fun exercise. You have the art in it. You had the creativity. You could fancy them up however you wanted. So it was really a great session. I really enjoyed it and was blessed to be able to attend it.
Awesome. Cool. And I know, like, again, sessions are fun when it's just not like a sit and talk, but you're getting ready to experience something. They're sharing a new process or just new ideas. I think that's really what drives a lot, especially when I go to these sessions. I want to hear something new. I want to hear a new process. Tips and tricks are fun, but sometimes I need a little more from that speaker. So, well, cool. Well, thanks, Pam. That was very informational for day number three.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and pass it. We're just going to pass it around. We're not trying to pull people out. But so we got Mr. Jeremy Jones. We're going to leave the first part.
That's Dr. Jones there to you, Mr. Morris.
So let's talk about
just kidding.
Donuts. Let's go ahead and jump into donuts.
Yep, let's go.
Tonight you got donuts.
I did.
What do we get tonight?
So tonight I got to enjoy the Bacon Maple Bar. They were out last night. And I had a wonderful maple cream pie or something like that. But I can truly say that I think perfection has been found.
Yeah, it's incredible. I would have got it again, but I need to wait. Tomorrow will be the night for that.
That's true. The sweet, the salty, everything's so good. I am feeling a little bit kind of sluggish, though, now. It seems like the sugar's starting to wear down. So we're getting there. But
it's been a long couple days. But, you know, it's been, again, fun to hang out. So let's think about our sessions today, Jeremy. And what is, like, do you have a takeaway from today? Is there a tip, a trick, maybe a presenter that you got to speak to, listen to? What was the big highlight for today?
So I feel like for me, the big highlight was, and, you know, this is kind of going back to local, but getting to hear Pam and Jason talk about, you know, the STEM hub that's been created, looking at it and knowing and seeing as being an administrator, being an elementary principal and kind of the process of this, it was a nice reflection upon what's taking place. And sitting there, I thought about how valuable it would be to a district or to a school system that maybe hasn't got there yet, because it was a very good kind of template foundation of some things to think about. And so I would encourage anyone that might be in that space, you're just now trying to think about starting something like a STEM hub. It was just a lot of good information beyond just buying things, you know, and I don't know all the ins and outs, but to sit there and listen and the things you got to think through besides just getting some cool gadgets that kids can use, what is the things that you got to do logistically to be able to, you know, maintain them, have them checked out, have them be utilized, and these things that you initially, I don't think about as a district whenever you're kind of beginning that endeavor.
Yeah, they both have done such an incredible job. And I know sometimes I only get to see a glimpse of it when we go to our staff meetings. There's a lot of behind the scenes things that are happening, from the, you know, power of spending money to the organization part to systems to help check out and check in and just making it a lot really user friendly for our teachers. And I know the more work they've put in and the more teachers see it, teachers in our district are seeing the real life applicability of it, to like how important it is. And that gets people excited. So, like, you know, we went 100%. To Valley View, we've been in North Lee, we're going to some other schools, and those teachers come in the gym and they're seeing the hard work that they've put in to get these tools, even if they don't know it, but they're seeing what the kids interact and they're like, oh, I could use that in my class. That's awesome. How do we do that? And it's really sparked a lot of things. And it's really made us busy as a team to continue to support those teachers and do those fun things.
Right.
But it's even teachers are checking them out and taking them in their classroom. So I think because that we're so busy with that, that really just shows, again, the hard work that they put in to the whole system and getting us to where we not necessarily need to be, but we're getting great things and we're going to continue to grow with that.
Well, yeah. And how you manage that and how you utilize it and then how you empower your teachers and your schools, I think is important. And there was just a lot of good basic information. And even in that process, you know, Mr. Gluckner was there. Shout out to the Gluckinator, wherever he might be at this moment. But Jason and Pam were sharing about how they created a chat bot that was based on some data and information, so that, you know, for a teacher, sometimes we might have these spaces or we create like a fab lab. And to be specific, like Walker Valley High School, we have a fab lab. But for an ELA teacher to come in and be like, hey, utilize this, there's too much really for them to take in. but that this chat bot has been created to where then they can ask questions or they can present certain scenarios. And then it's doing that thinking to try to help guide them. That was another interesting takeaway. And so I just want to encourage anyone out there that might be outside of the Bradley County school system, you really need to reach out to these people. Great, great resources. And it excites me because being a former elementary principal and wanting to try to get some STEM things rolling, I think there's some good takeaways that can be used even maybe in smaller school systems and larger ones, but for those who haven't started yet and just to try to get the ball rolling. And it's kind of like Scott even mentioned, you know, he talked about like it, you're kind of pushing, you're grinding, you're trying to build. But when you get it going and that buy-in happens, then it really gains momentum. And so they laid out just kind of a good framework and a story about how to do that and to help people kind of get started.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think the big thing is buy-in. I think it does, like, you know, we've had conversation at Walker Valley of this tool or that tool, but like we can find the greatest tool in the world, but if you don't have the buy-in from the teachers, then it's, you're just kind of wasting your time. And I think especially with the STEM Hub and all the things that we're doing, there really is buy-in.
Yep.
And it's going to continue to grow because even like as we're talking now, you know, people are telling Pam and Jason, hey, we need you to buy this. I need more of these. I need more the big thing we keep hearing is these straw beads,
yep.
Which are just plastic straws and attachments.
I remember when Valley View got their first couple of straw bead kits, you know, but just having the kit is not enough. And so that process and getting more to where you can do more and have classroom sets and then educating the teachers on how to utilize it. And then they'll continue to kind of grow from it.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to what they continue to do, and I know you are too. And we're going to have to talk about these spaces. Maybe we can create something at Walker Valley, whether it's a process, whether it's for CTE, like something to help these teachers how to use something.
Yeah, it was really neat.
It's going to be incredible.
And like I said to Mr. Gluckner, that was a wonderful takeaway. You know, he was sitting there and thinking about kind of his own campus and how we could utilize what we have, but then build upon what had been created by the STEM team. And so, you know, that's what it's about, collaborating, hearing different ideas. I think that's one of my takeaways from being at the conference is, you know, we're coming together and you think about all this knowledge and these experiences that are being shared so that sometimes it minimizes that learning curve for the next person. And so blessed to be here, enjoying it. Love the donuts. My goodness, I can't wait to see what I'm going to choose tomorrow. But it's a fun experience and we'll just see what the next day has in store.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Jeremy. And also with the STEM Hub, we're going to make sure that I'll get with Pam and Jason. We'll share some links in the show notes for y'all. So maybe you can see the Google sites that we've built. You can maybe see how we do our checkout system. We'll even take their presentation and I'll talk to Pam and we'll make sure we put that on there just in case you are interested in doing something like that. That way you have the ability to see that. And if you have questions, feel free to reach out. You can always email myself. Remember, my email is just jmorris@bradleyschools.com. Or even if you want to talk to Pam or Jason, I can get you in contact with that. So now we're going to transition to Colby Burris. Remember, you can follow Colby at Xless C. Burris. I've been telling everybody at the set, the hall here in the sessions and the vendor halls, Colby, I've been signing you up like crazy for social media. I think you're going to get lots of good followers.
I'm sure I am. Let me log in here real quick.
So, Colby, let's go ahead and get the donut chat out of the way.
Yes.
Really kind of, you've gotten this blueberry donut every night.
Every night.
And I got it tonight, and it was well worth it.
It's just a little extra special. Like, some things just work, and blueberry donuts is one of them. And so, every night's been a blueberry, and then something else just to tickle the fancy, and tonight it was the Homer, which is a kind of a strawberry frosting with sprinkles a la Homer Simpson, and it was delightful.
The Homer did look really good, and that may be something I'll have to look for the next time. So as we get moving towards back to the show, and our the reason we're recording tonight is talk about our conference today. But what was something, maybe was there a takeaway today? Was there like a tip or a trick? Was there like a moment that you met somebody that you followed on social media or like you emailed? Like, what was your big thing today?
I would say if I were to condense it to one takeaway for the day, I think just as a backstory for people that don't follow me on social media, I'm big into the arts, creativity. I was a former band director for 17 years. I I just love any kind of creative arts, be it visual, performing, you know, just I love it all. Love it all. That being said, I love Canva. Just Canva is just such a great platform to create on. I both professionally and personally use a lot of Adobe products, but anytime I've thought about Adobe Express, it's kind of like that's a good program if somebody that wants to do some graphic design, but they're not really real serious. And then I would usually tell people, you know, go to Canva. Canva's where it's at for enthusiasts wanting to create impressive designs. But today I've been hearing you talk a whole lot about Adobe Express, and I had a block of time where I was looking for a session. And there happened to be a session on Adobe Express. And I was like, you know what? Let's try it out. And Adobe Express has got it going on. Like, I really, it's kind of like quizzes. Back in the day, when I was first getting started in educational technology, Kahoot and quizzes were two. I mean, they're still both great programs. Yeah. But honestly, my perception when I was first getting into this business was Kahoot is the superior platform. Like, quizzes was, it's okay. But Kahoot's where it's at. Then I would never pay attention to it. But then all of a sudden, I look over at quizzes one time and I was like, oh my gosh, it is completely morphed into this completely new platform and just really doing some great things. And I feel like that's the story with Adobe Express. First of all, if you're more of a Canva user, the interface is shockingly similar to a Canva, just with the way the main menu's to the left and even the tools that are there. So to me, first of all, anybody that has experience with Canva, feels comfortable Canva, I think it would be a natural transition, or maybe not even like complete transition, but just an easy experience to use Adobe Express. So that very much impressed me. But a few things about Adobe that impressed me today is, first of all, it seems a little bit more teacher focused in what it offers with Adobe Express compared to Canva. Canva has some great educational uses and resources built into it. But it just seems like Adobe's aiming a little bit more directly at teachers than maybe Canva is right now. At least on my perception in that 1 hour session I was in. But also just the way it handles some of the generative AI, and then just the way it deals with images, period, I think is a little bit superior to what Canva's got going on with their own generative AI. One thing in particular that I really liked is if you're familiar with Photoshop at all, it's great in that it has the generative fill toolbar, where literally you can highlight a certain part of the screen and say, I need XYZ to be in this area. And it's really good about just editing that part of the picture. And while we've got a little bit of that starting to sneak into Canva, it's nowhere near what Adobe can do. So like in the session I was in, we were making these student paper dolls, like a paper doll project, where students would generate a paper doll, and then they could go back and instead of, if you didn't like something about the picture, instead of changing everything, you could literally highlight a portion of the picture and say, I want to change just this part. So for example, on mine, I wanted to add earrings. So I literally just drew on the ears a little bit and said, add this type of earring. And it only manipulates that part of the image. And that is just so powerful. I think we've all been experienced when we're working with generative AI, the frustration of, oh man, it's created this design for me and it's 95% of what I want, but I want to change that last 5%. You prompt the AI, don't change this, don't change this, only change this. And what does it do? It changes everything. And you lose what was so great about that previous iteration. And so I think it gives you a little more flexibility when you're using generative AI. So just seeing that today, that was meaningful. Like, I've already been talking to Scott and then our network administrator, Brad, about our Adobe accounts and start getting some of our branding kits maybe going inside of Adobe Express, because I really feel like I don't necessarily want to migrate everybody from Canva. I just think it's another tool for teachers' tool belt to have it there as an option. And just the fact that it works so similarly as Canva, it looks so similar. I think we've got a winner on our hands, and I'm excited where this is going to go from here.
Yeah, I think having options is always great, because, you know, we've seen so many great tools this week so far in the vendor hall or in presentations, and not every tool, even though tools may do the same thing or be very similar, your view on it versus my view on it is going to be very different. And so it's nice to have those options for teachers. And, you know, I think Adobe's kind of been sleeping a little bit on a lot of people. Every time I've logged in, because I do a lot of the podcasting on there. It makes it really friendly to edit, to do some things that I've done for the show. But they continue to upgrade and continue to do things. And I'm really looking forward to it. And I think it's tomorrow. There is a session that I don't remember the exact title, but it's like Canva versus Adobe Express. And I'm really excited to sit down and see that one and just see what the presenters have to say about, you know, the good and bad, or just say, hey, this does it. You know, in Canva, we can remove the background this way. In Adobe, it looks like this. And maybe just to see the differences in each tool. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm very eager. And I've been an Adobe user for 20 something years. And over the years, I've picked up new products that I have purpose for using. And in any given week, I'm probably using four different of the mainline Adobe products, like either Audition or Photoshop, Premiere, After Effects, Acrobat. I'm using all those platforms. But I've always had, not always had, but recently had a lot of displeasure with how expensive Adobe is getting. It's professionally, fortunately, it's provided by our district, but it's hard to recommend to a lot of people that aren't in a position to receive the software. It's just so expensive to get the Creative Cloud. And so I've really been kind of advocating for Canva, because it's really been coming along and really chipping away at the business of Adobe. And that, I think, competition anywhere in any industry is great. We don't want any monopolies. We want companies to always feel like they've got to be reaching for that next thing, striving to the next thing, and being competitive with pricing. So with some of the things that Canva has been bringing along, I've been cheering them on. But I'm telling you, Adobe's really kind of starting to fight back, as far as they understand the need for that kind of, I don't know if I should call it mid-tier or beginner tier, but that enthusiast tier of product that speaks to a lot of different professions, especially educators, gives them a lot of powerful options for media creation. And I'm eager to see what they do. Like I said, I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater and saying we're done with Canva. It's like you say, some people gravitate more to one platform than another. It's just another option out there for our educators, and I'm looking forward to where we go from here.
Yeah, we'll have to catch back up, and we'll have to see how the rest of the week goes. And maybe, you know, I've seen there's been a lot of sessions with Adobe. So again, I'm really looking forward to that Canva versus Adobe. So. Awesome. Well, cool. Thanks, Kobe. I think that was very impactful, and we'll have to catch back up with you. All right. So we're going back to the man we started the show with. How's it going, Scott?
Super excited to be back on the program for a second time today. Couldn't ask for anything more. excited. It's been an exciting day, full of intrigue and surprise and camaraderie and friendship and donuts. So I don't know that you could ask for much more.
No, I mean, we're just living
a conference day.
We are living dreams.
We are living the dream. You know, each day just gets better and better. So it, you know, exciting day here. You know, started off with watching Jason Viviano and Pam Coleman, you know, brag about the STEM lab, the STEM hub, all the great thing that's happening there. And it ended with, a chocolate dream donut. So I'm pretty, you know, all the stuff in between was great as well. But
yeah. So besides listening to Pam and Jason today, was there a big takeaway that you had, whether it was a speaker, a tip, or a trick, or maybe something that you're looking forward to bringing
back
to
Broward County
Schools?
So you're actually
going to
force me to say something
important tonight.
Important and serious here.
Yes.
Well, and we're going to talk about this collectively as a group a little more once we kind of get back to Bradley County and Cleveland. The focus for me this trip is I want to have us start to have conversations about how we can maximize and create ways to give our teachers shorter doses of professional development. Quicker, you know, we talk about all these tools, and yes, we can go in depth into all these tools, and we've done a great job, and we've tried some things, and we've done some webinars and all that sort of stuff, and that stuff has its place. But I think for the vast majority of our people, they want to learn, they want to take it in smaller bites, quick hitting, and they want to have choice in the matter. So they want to learn how to do this particular thing, and they, you know, but they may not necessarily want to learn how to do this. I'm still trying to wrap my head around what it looks like. Could it be choice boards or something along those lines? Sure, it could look something like that. But I think we need to, again, reframe and redo how we're doing professional development, especially from an instructional technology perspective. I'm still trying to gather my thoughts, and I've been to several sessions since we've been here about how they're delivering content. Some have been really good, and some I'm thinking, well, you know, we're already doing better than that. But trying to take pieces from all these and kind of come up with something that is our own that can be impactful, because, you know, one of the things we have to consider is we got to try to meet people where they are. We also got to try to give them a variety of options from a time perspective. You know, some people have kids or have things going on. They can't stay for a webinar. So recording and doing it, but getting it more bite-sized, 45, 50-minute, 60-minute video sometimes is hard to digest all in one sitting. So I really have a focus. I really want us to continue the conversation and look at trying to find the ways to redo how we're delivering content, at least from an instructional technology perspective. So that's been the big focus for me over the last couple of days.
No, I think I like that because, you know, a lot of times things that we do, we don't want to stay stagnant with how we're delivering content, how we're interacting with teachers. We're continuing to grow in our roles and what we do in the county. And so this could be a new flavor of what we're bringing. It could add on to our webinars. It could add on to something. And again, just not staying stagnant, trying to find new ways to get our teachers connected.
Well, Josh, you know, being a former classroom teacher, the professional developments that meant the most to me were the ones that I had a say in. You know, conferences like this, or, you know, different activities, even if it's just a local conference, like the mini summit that Bradley puts on. Those always were always more impactful for me because I had a voice in what I was learning, and I could take stuff from what I was learning and find a way to apply it to what I'm doing in the classroom. And I think we need to, I want us to come up with a way to get to make that happen a little bit more often for our teachers. Now, sometimes they don't know what they don't know. So that's why it's great to come to a conference and get exposed to a lot of tools and things here. But I think we can do it in a way that can be a little more impactful. So I don't know what that looks like. And we'll come up with a plan together as a department. But I think it's time to start tweaking a little bit and looking at how we do this and how we do not just professional development, but anytime you're training on any tool, it doesn't even have to be technology based. It could be a skill or something that you're doing in the classroom. I think it's time for us to take a little bit of a different approach to how we do some of that. I don't know. You know, I've seen some cool things. It was somebody, you know, I seen one group that did like a PD bingo, where you can kind of pick your own things and you're trying to fill out your bingo card or something along, something to elevate and get our people a little more eager. And I think the size and length of professional development, we just need to consolidate some things and then have the opportunity for follow-up if it's something that inspires the teacher. So I don't know what it looks like just yet, but that's where my mind has been swimming this week.
Well, I'm looking forward to sitting down as a team and continuing to go with this and see where we can take it as a department.
Yeah, I think it's important. I think it's important for us as a department I want everybody to have input. I mean, one of the things that I definitely want to do coming out of this is I want to make sure that we're giving our people the opportunity to feedback. Hey, do we need more Google training? Do we need more AI training? Is there a specific type of something we need? You know, I never, as the supervisor of this department, I am never going to edict what we're going to train on. I try to get feedback from a variety of people. But maybe I do that in a much broader scale this year. Maybe I send out some surveys, do some stuff like that, try to get some input about what they want to learn. And maybe we can, you know, provide opportunities. I really do think the chunking of getting these things into a shorter window instead of, hey, you know, Josh, we're going to do a PLC training. You're going to have 45 minutes with people. Maybe it's, I only need 10 minutes. And then I can point them to something else where they can follow up on that training and do an additional 10-minute one online or a couple of, you know, if they do two, they do three of those, maybe they get credit for an hour of professional development. I don't know how it looks, but I know that I want it to be different. You know, we've tried to do some badging things in the past. And for our really tech savvy people, those things are very important, but they don't mean the same thing to our general population of teachers. So I think it's time to reframe our approach to professional development and come up with something that is a little more teacher-centric, a little more flexible on how they're getting information in a variety of ways and ways they can, you know, provide feedback on top of what of their learning. So that's kind of where my head has been all week.
Yeah, and I think that really ties into what we talked last night too. Remember last night we talked about customer service and doing all those things. So we're just continuing to upgrade and continue to do those things. So I'm really looking forward to that. Any last words that you have for the day? I know
it's been a very exciting day. I don't think I've ever been in a setting where I've seen Colby Burris talk as much as he just talked. My man is very fired up.
He kind of geeked out on us.
He did geek out. He's very excited about Adobe Express and the potential it has. So he's been talking about it all day long. So he's seen some things that have got him pretty excited and pretty fired up. Super happy that we've got a very wide spectrum of people here. You know, Allison Bynum, the principal at Charleston, was with us over the weekend. They've already left to go back. Denise George, who does STEM and library at Charleston, spoke on Saturday. And then we've got several people from Bradley High School, Walker Valley High School. So it's good. Like, you know, in the past, these types of conferences were not, honestly, were not very well attended by Bradley County Schools. And, you know, we've done some things in the past through CTE, but it's important that we're exposing big ed tech conferences like these to a variety of people. We've got administrators, we've got teachers, we've had in the past, we've had CTE directors and counselors and things like that, because there's something really at these conferences for everybody. It's and me and Dr. Jones had this conversation at lunch today, and it's not about, you know, this is, and I've said this multiple times, probably on this podcast multiple times, it's not about, this conference is not about technology. It's about instruction and moving instruction forward. Yes, it's a tech conference. There's a lot of hardware, software type things in here. But everybody in these sessions are talking about instruction and how to improve instruction and how to improve learning. And it's important to remember that it's a tool in the toolkit. It's not the only tool in the toolkit. And listen, I'm the tech director. Sometimes I forget about the other tools because this is where, you know, this is where I operate. But it's just a tool. And it can be a very impactful tool if used correctly. And the training part of it, I keep coming back to that, but I think we need to really take a deep dive and look at how we're training the use of things like AI and devices, whatever, you know, whatever you want to say, and making sure that we're providing everybody with the right skills and the thought process of how I can incorporate that and help me help our students to learn at a higher, more efficient rate. So, you know, exciting times, always happy to be here. Looking forward to already, you know, scrolling down the list of what the possible donut could be tomorrow. It's a big day because, you know, we're going to lose the Walker Valley crew after tomorrow night. So it's going to be a very important night. You know, there's going to be a lot of, there's going to be a lot of donuts consumed. There's going to be a lot of, you know, it's going to be sad. It's going to be sad to see them leave us here a little bit early, but, you know, happy to have been able to spend some time with them and eat some confectionery goodness. So it's a big, big, big day tomorrow. Josh, you're excited. Let me go ahead and flip the channels here and switch the roles. And I know this is your podcast. You're usually the one asking the questions. But Josh, you know, you have a big day tomorrow. Tomorrow is your first opportunity to speak at a big, large national convention. I believe we're going to be talking about some accommodations and some other stuff. So let's fill the people in a little bit about you know, what the game plan is for tomorrow. You know, what kind of style, what kind of approach are we going to take? In our session tomorrow, you know, fill us in on some of the details. The people are excited to know what the famous, and I do mean this, the famous Josh Morris. You should have seen, we went to a Waveground BRIS teaching event earlier this evening, and you would have thought Elvis Presley or somebody walked into the facility. It was electric. That, you know, Elvis Presley may be a little dated reference for our podcast listeners, but it was tremendous. But anyway, I'm rambling. You know, what's the game plan for tomorrow? How excited are we?
Listen, your words, Scott. I mean, that just really hits me. It hits me deep. I mean, you know, we go back a long ways from when I was 14 years old and you were yelling at me on the football field. To hear these nice words, it's just... I'm not going to take it for granted because I probably won't hear that again, but I can always listen to the recording as much as I want.
Episode 69, I believe. So you may want to mark that down.
It's marked. I'm going to put it in my phone so I can always hear those words. But no, I'm really excited about tomorrow. I'm going to really get into my past as a classroom teacher, as a special education teacher. We're going to talk about accommodations and just really how that was a struggle for me before all this technology came out. And now that we have tools like Wayground or AI or reading things, and just how those things can really impact our students and their learning. Because, you know, it's tough. We don't always want to feel different. When we have to go into a room and someone has to sit next to you to read, or you have to have a different device, we're just really going to start leveling that playing field, whether it's read alouds, differentiation for students, and just really allow them to be able to show what they've learned, the same as anybody else, and not know that they've got something different going on. So I'm really excited to talk about that, harness my past. And it's really going to be a hands-on lesson. So I hope the people that come to the session bring their laptops charged. I've got a bunch of slides, but we're really not going to look at them. It's just a resource for them. So they're going to join things. We're going to assign quizzes. It's going to be awesome, Scott. I've done this a couple times, but when I assign them a quiz, we're going to translate it into Chinese, Spanish, any language that Wayground's going to translate it to. And I'm just going to pick a bunch of random ones. And I love seeing teachers try to read it. And it's so instant. So I'm really looking forward to that part. That's going to
be
fun.
Listen, I'm very excited. It should be an awesome day. I'll be a proud technology director sitting back in the back, just grinning from ear to ear. Probably taking some pictures, it's like your first kid walking. When you take as many pictures as you can, it's your first conference, first day, first opportunity to present. Then you got another one. Well, we don't want to spoil that. We'll get into that tomorrow.
We'll get into that tomorrow.
We'll don't want to share that one too soon, but it's going to be a big day. Very excited for it. Looking forward to another day here in San Antonio at TCEA
26. And the weather has been incredible. Started out really rough, but it's warming up. We got the shorts coming out tomorrow.
Could be a short pants day.
It's going to be awesome.
Sure.
Well, cool. Awesome, Scott. I appreciate your thoughts, your wisdom, and maybe the direction that we're going to start talking about.
I don't know that there's much wisdom involved in all that, but
it's still good to listen.
Always got thoughts.
That you do. So listen, for episode number 69, I appreciate it. I hope you guys have enjoyed this one. Not as spicy as last time, but I appreciate y'all checking in and listening. So remember, you can continue to follow this journey. We'll have episode number four for this journey in Texas coming out the day after this one. And so just continue to follow along. Remember, if you have questions, feel free to email me, email the team of people you've heard today. I'll make sure you check out the website. Remember, that's the bit.ly/techflush. There I'll post up the episode notes if we have any. I'll link the notes from today for our STEM Hub and things that Pam and Jason have done, just so if you want to see those. And then from there, remember, you can also check out the website that I've also created. Just like, it's packed full of resources, packed full of tech tips, tools, just for you to check out. So make sure you check that out. And for episode 69, we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Tech Flush podcast. Stay tech savvy, keep those gadgets charged, and remember, teachers and technology go hand in hand, connecting students to a world of knowledge for an electrifying learning experience. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and spread the word about the Tech Flush to your friends. Catch all episodes on Apple Podcasts. See you next time on the Tech Flush.